You're listening to Cincinnati Edition. I'm Tana Weingartner in for Mark Purzel. Brian Giesenslaw is in the front row with Betsy Ross to talk about how the Reds' spring training has been going.
Nothing says spring like spring training, and nothing says the optimism of a Reds fan like actually getting a report on how the guys are doing in Goodyear, Arizona. I'm still not used to saying Goodyear, Arizona, I swear. You know, it's been Florida for so many years, I got to change my brain, change my thinking there. But Brian Giesenslaw, my cohort, my compatriot at Fox 19, has been out to Goodyear and he has seen spring training. Brian, thanks for being with us on the front row.
How are you doing, Bets?
I am doing wonderfully. And you had the chance to really see how the guys are doing out there. Not a lot of changes, but maybe, you know, one or two that might just make a difference. As we say, you know, it came oh so close. We had so many high hopes of, you know, of what this past season would be. And, you know, they win just enough to get us excited. And then you get into the postseason and then, once again, I think we're all disappointed in the way that the season ended this last year. Is that a carryover? Is there a bit of a hangover from this postseason of last season going into this year?
You know what? I don't know if you would call it a hangover. I don't think anyone is still haunted necessarily by what happened, except maybe Matt Latos, who told me, he said, look, I took it really personally in that game five loss that, you know, that I gave up the grand slam to Buster Posey and it was kind of on my shoulders and I didn't get it done. Outside of that, you know, guys are motivated by it. I think guys thought about it all offseason. I don't think it's going to carry over in a negative way. There is some motivation there, but yeah, everybody brought it up that, you know, how difficult that was having not lost three straight games at home all season and then at the biggest moment possible to have that happen at the ballpark in October was tough to take. And, you know, no one said, I can't remember if it was Jay Bruce or someone else said, you know, look, you know, don't get the wrong impression that we had packed our bags and we're looking past anything. He said, but, you know, we're people, we're human beings. And he said, when we went to San Francisco and won the first two games, you know, we came back and we thought it was just a matter of time before we were moving on to the next round. So, mm-hmm. There may be a lesson in that going forward, but I think there's motivation for sure, given how last year ended.
Well, and I think that now that they've had that 6 months or so to kind of look back to see, you know, there's always an initial sting, but you have to remember, kind of go back to the season. I think that some people may have said that they overachieved a little bit, especially after losing Joey Votto in the middle of the season the way they did.
Yeah, and, you know, that word overachieved is one – you know, that you heard a lot about the Reds in 2010, and I don't think you'd find many people that would disagree that team overachieved in winning the division and getting to the playoffs. You know, the team last year, you look at what happened with Votto, and that was certainly the eye-opening point of the season because when he went down is when all the red flags went up and everybody said, oh, you know, what are we going to do right now? Mm-hmm. And then to see Ryan Ludwig, to see Todd Frazier, and those guys step up in his absence. I think that was a surprise of last year. But when you talk to people around baseball and you kind of get out of the bubble that we're in here locally, you know, where we want to believe all the great things that you hear about all the great players and just how wonderful the team can be and the potential. People around the country right now are talking about this team, which is essentially the same team as last year, as one of the top teams in baseball. So I don't think you can use overachieve anymore this year, you know, and probably to a lesser extent last year it didn't fit that well. It's a talented team, it's good players, it's well managed and it's put together well, and all that does is just, you know, ramp up the expectation and the pressure on this team to take another step.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, let's talk about some of the changes. Not a whole lot of change, but maybe the big change that we're going to see. Leadoff hitter. It has been a thorn in the side of Dusty for quite some time, and now they finally pulled the trigger, change the leadoff hitter. What do you think that's going to mean for the Reds?
Yeah, you're right. There are essentially two storylines right now with the Reds, and that's it. And it's Aroldis Chapman and Shin-Soo Choo, you know, who's going to hit in the leadoff spot. And, you know, it's one of those deals where last few years, when I've watched some of the moves that Walt Jocketty has made, you know, I'm not a baseball minutia guy. I'm not a guy who, you know, has notebooks full of numbers and studies players around the league and says, wow, that guy would be a good fit here. But it seems so simple sometimes. You know, when they picked up Shin-Soo Choo, now, not that they didn't give up a lot to get him, but when they got him, he just fits the profile perfectly of what they needed, outside of the fact that he hasn't played center field, which I think has been blown up a little bit more in terms of the transition for him and what he's facing. Most of the people I talked to said, look, you know, he's going to be okay, that the transition at center field is actually an easier outfield position to play than right, and making that transition rather than going the other way, which is what Jay Bruce did a few years ago when he went from center to right field. So it just looks like this is a great situation for the Reds for this season. And who knows how it plays out. Maybe there's, and maybe there's some way to get another year out of him if it works out for both parties, and Billy Hamilton can come along a little more slowly. But I think it's going to be a great fit, and outside of what he does as a hitter and in the field, already in Goodyear, he fit. Guys liked him. He liked them. He knows he's in a good situation to actually, you know, play in the postseason, something he didn't have in Cleveland. And I'm excited. I'm really excited to see what that lineup can do with a guy like him at the top of it to set the table, as they say, and I think he's going to score a lot of runs.
Yeah, and he can get on base. We're talking with my colleague at Fox 19 Sports, Brian Giesenslaw. You mentioned two big storylines. That's one of them. Aroldis Chapman is the other. And for some reason, I keep having a Tim Tebow flashback on this whole thing, because it sounds as if the front office has said, kind of like Tim Tebow, here's your player, you're going to start him.
Yeah.
And Dusty, I think it's very obvious that he is hedging his bet on moving Chapman into the starting lineup. And, you know, is this going to be a Tim Tebow kind of storyline for the next few months? And what happens if Aroldis Chapman gets in the starting lineup? Something happens with his arm, and then it's, oh, see, Dusty Baker just ruined another pitcher. Because that's what people will say looking back to his time in Chicago.
You're exactly right. If it doesn't go well initially, then there are big problems.
Yeah.
And Walt Jocketty knows that. You know, all the Reds baseball people know that. They're smart people. And they know that this has the potential. I mean, by the third, fourth day of spring training, when everyone was in, you know, it was already a tense situation. You know, not for Walt. He answered, but for Dusty, and those guys, you know, we were there at the very start of camp, and Dusty was, you know, said, you know, I'm tired of talking about this. I don't want to answer this, but the decision hasn't been made. If it doesn't start well, they're going to have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to think that everything is going to go perfectly. You know, it's a big change. Has he started in the past? Absolutely. Is he preparing right now any differently than he did last spring? Not at all. Right now, everything is exactly the same. But if he clears spring training, and when the team comes back and starts the regular season, if he's in the starting rotation, then that's where the real battle begins, to either have him pitch so well that he secures this spot and secures the decision as a good one, or, like you said, if he's not great, if he's up and down, if he has some bad starts, if he has any kind of a physical issue, then you get people in the clubhouse, you certainly get the fans, and then it all comes back, you know, to the management. And nationally, this is just as big of a story as it is here. Everyone nationally is talking about this. Everyone has an opinion on it. And I would say, while I've certainly heard it both ways, most of those opinions fall back on keeping him in the bullpen. And
right.
So management is fighting a battle where they have the minority opinion. Theirs is the only one that counts. They're the guys writing the checks. But given that, you have to think they're prepared for the potential backlash if it's a decision that doesn't turn out as well as they hope it does.
And fans do not have a long fuse when it comes to patience in that area.
Right. And they don't, given the fact that they've seen the flip side of it. This is not an unknown that you're dealing with, where, you know, everybody's wondering, well, does he fit as a closer, or, well, does he fit as a starter? Everyone saw last year what he does as a closer. And so that's the thought And the thing that's going to keep coming back to people's minds, it's not if it doesn't work as a starter. We've got this great pitcher. What do we do? They know. And so they know what they're missing. And everyone knows human nature. When you know what you're missing and when you know it's by choice that that's not happening, it just magnifies and amplifies, you know, your frustration and your angst about what's going on. And the Reds have to hope that that doesn't happen.
We'll all find out starting April 1, opening day. Brian Giesenslaw, my colleague at Fox 19 Sports. Brian, thanks for being with us in the front row.
Enjoyed it, Betsy. Take care.